Welcome back to the Mark Steiner Show. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. Belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org. MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner is there with all the information. So 30 years ago, there was a disaster in India, December 3rd, 1984, the Bhopal disaster. It was one of the worst industrial accidents that ever occurred on this globe. The Union Carbide plant, a pesticide plant, killed thousands of people in the Indian city of Bhopal with a leakage of methyl isocyanate. We don't exactly know how many people were killed, but thousands were killed, thousands were injured. And subsequently, people died of lung injuries, neurological disorders, reproductive disorders, continue to this day. And lawsuit after lawsuit has been filed against Union Carbide. They won a settlement of $400 million, much less than people thought should happen in India. These lawsuits were overturned here in the United States. There's a new lawsuit in India now, and people are seeking $1 billion in damage. Activist groups in Bhopal and co-applicants in this petition are seeking damages of $8.1 billion. And a movie is now out called Bhopal, A Prayer of Rain, starring the incredible actors here, Martin Sheen, Misha Barton, and others. It's coming to Baltimore. People who are in that associated with that film are from the city as well. And we are joined here in studio by Dr. Patricia Santosham, who's a Baltimore physician and executive producer of the film Bhopal, A Prayer for Rain. And Sanjay Verma is in studio, a survivor of the Bhopal disaster when he was just a little boy. And now an activist and photographer for the Bhopal Medical Appeal and International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal. And good to have you both. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Folks, join us here, 410-319-8888. You can write to us at talk@steinershow.org. Log on to our Facebook pages. But please join us, 410-319-8888. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. So it's great to see you again, Pat. It's Patricia, have you in the studio one more time. But talk a bit about some background here, about how the film began and your involvement in all this.
I was with my husband in White River, Arizona in 1984 and just read a little bit in the newspapers about it, was appalled by the disaster. But the years went on, and it was in 2008 that I actually met the director of this film, Bhopal, A Prayer for Rain. It was at a point in my life when I'd been just recovering from treatment for breast cancer, and I was unable to work as an anesthesiologist, and this seemed like something I could do since our son was an actor and he had auditioned and got a role in this film. So I decided to go to India with him and work on the production of a film.
How did you get to that point of working on a production? You're a physician.
Yes, a physician who couldn't work at that time.
Uh-huh.
And so I was pretty frustrated with myself and the way my hands and feet had become numb from the chemotherapy. And so it just seemed like I wanted to do something completely different. And our son, who had just come back from Russia, was in the movie, and I thought, well, let me go and see what I can do in the production, because obviously I wasn't in the acting part of it. So that's what happened. I went to India, worked on the pre-production and production. They didn't know what to do with me initially. So the first job they gave me was to make copies of the papers and the scripts and so on. And I gradually, I think, got promoted to where I actually worked more or less as a liaison for the foreign actors who had come from abroad and the production crew. So during this process, we got to know Martin Sheen, who was a wonderful activist and became a great friend. And through him was how we met Sanjay, who is here with us today. And the film was released in theaters last November, and we are screening it in Baltimore on the Homewood campus at 2 p.m. on Saturday, and hope to raise money for the Bhopal Medical Appeal.
And I want to go back to where we are with this. Sanjay Verma, I know you were just not yet born, right?
He was.
I was actually born in July 1984.
And so just after, right?
A few months ago.
And in Bhopal. And so take us back and talk a bit about your family and Bhopal and the state there. Because the idea that Union Carbide, one of the wealthiest companies on the planet, had this disaster. And in fact, in the film, Martin Sheen plays Mr. Anderson, who is the head of the company, who came to India when this was going on. But talk a bit about give our listeners a sense of the reality.
Well, today it has been like more than 30 years ever since the Bhopal disaster occurred. And for most of the people, it is like a disaster which has been like forgotten, because people kind of like think that, oh, it was something that occurred like more than 30 years ago. Things should be fine and everything. But the thing is, that's not the fact, because in the night of the 2nd and 3rd of December 1984, there were like about 40 tons of MIC gas that leaked from the Union Carbide plant and killed about 7,000 to 10,000 people in the first 72 hours. And my family was living right across the street from the main plant. We were four brothers, four sisters, and parents. Both of my parents, three of my sisters, and two of my brothers. They were all killed by this company in one night. So it was a family of 10.
Where were you when this happened as a baby? You were home with them.
Yeah, I was actually born July 1984. So I was about 6 months old when this disaster occurred. It was my sister. She wrapped me in a blanket and she just ran away with the crowd. That's how I survived.
Wow.
So it was a family of 10. And then the morning after, it became a family of 3, because 7 of our family members, they were killed by this multinational company in one night. And as I said, you know, like after the disaster, Union Carbide left the site abandoned with thousands of metric tons of toxic waste lying in and around the site. And those actually toxic waste seeps into the ground and contaminate our groundwater, soil, and air. So the people, you know, there are more than 50,000 people who have been living around the site, and they were forced to drink contaminated water for several years without knowing that their water was being contaminated.
Because you couldn't taste it.
No, well, people didn't really know that their water was being poisoned by the toxic waste from this plant. But it was Greenpeace who tested, who took samples of water in mother's breast milk, and they found chemicals like mercury and other chemicals which were being used by Union Carbide when it was existing. So it was in 2001 or 2 when we found out that the water people were drinking in Bhopal was like highly contaminated. So because of the consequences of contaminated water, the children started being born with several birth deformities. So it's not just the disaster that occurred like in the night of the gas leak. It is still happening, still killing people. It has been like more than 30 years. More than 25,000 people have been killed by this disaster. And the individuals and companies responsible for this, they have never been held accountable. You know, U.S. actually has been kind of like a safe haven for these multinational corporations and individuals, because it was the U.S. government that provided funds to Union Carbide through Exim Bank to set up this plant MIC plant in Bhopal. And also, you know, how President Obama has been like double standards with Bhopal, because when it came to fix this responsibility in the U.S., Obama actually made British Petroleum pay more than $20 billion when the oil spilled in Gulf of Mexico. But he has been in the office for several years, but he hasn't actually broken his silence on Bhopal. He didn't even talk about Bhopal even once.
And he's in India now.
He left India.
Yeah,
So one of the main reasons of my trip to the U.S. this time was to ask him to break his silence on Bhopal and issue a joint statement with Indian Prime Minister during his visit. We tried to meet with him, but it just didn't happen. We had like a demonstration outside the White House.
So, again, I'm going to go back to the beginning just for a moment, because on the day that your family was killed, thousands were killed when there was an explosion at the plant and the gas leaked out across leaked out across the community. Right.
Well, there was no explosion. There was a chemical reaction. Water actually went into MIC tank, and then about 40 tons of MIC gas leaked from the Union Carbide plant.
Right.
And, you know, It was all around Bhopal. People were running, knowing nothing what to do. And, you know, they never gave us the antidote of this gas. And they said it's a trade secret, so we can't give you. Even still, people
don't. They would not give the antidote to the people because it would violate the trade secret of how they make their chemicals.
Yeah. Even today, doctors do not know how to treat these people because they don't really have this antidote.
And the U.S. courts, Pat Santosham, they have sided with union carbide the whole time and overturned.
So far, I think that's been the case, and which hasn't stopped the people from refiling and trying to get justice. I think Sanjay could probably fill you in better on that, but I think there are lawsuits that are pending again. It's sad because it was a terrible disaster when it happened. But because they never cleaned up the toxic material, it has affected a new generation and one or two generations of people. It's a known fact that the morning after the disaster, 50% of women that were exposed to this gas, 50% of pregnant women suffered a miscarriage. And this continues to this day because of the contamination.
What happened to the money that they were fined? Was it $400 million in the beginning they were fined, right, in the court case? What happened to that money?
It was actually in 1989. There was an out-of-court settlement between Indian government and Union Carbide. Originally, our government asked for more than $1 billion, but Union Carbide ended up paying like $470 million U.S.
And where did that money go?
About 14% of what actually we were asking for. That money actually went to the survivors. Each survivor got about like $500 each. But
$500?
Each. But that settlement was based on wrong figures of deaths and injuries. Dow Chemical bought Union Carbide in 2001,
right.
And they became the second largest chemical company in the world. When you buy an asset, you buy its liabilities as well. So when Dow bought Union Carbide, they knew about the Union Carbide's responsibility in Bhopal. They would take responsibilities of Union Carbide in the U.S. in this asbestos case. At the same time, they refuse to take Union Carbide's responsibility in Bhopal. So even Dow Chemical has been double standards with us. So there was a settlement of $470 million U.S. that Union Carbide gave to Government of India, but it was based on wrong figures of deaths and injuries.
So there's a new case now.
Yeah. So in 2010, when Indian officials of Union Carbide India Limited, they were actually punished by Bhopal court. They were sent. They were sentenced for 2 years each and fine of about 200,000 rupees each. So, but none of the American officials, like from Union Carbide USA, appeared before the court. So there was a huge media outrage in India. So Indian government came forward and they filed a curative petition to fix the mistakes they did in 1989. During this settlement. So this curative petition is pending in the Supreme Court of India. In this curative petition, Indian government has asked Dow Chemical to pay additional compensation of about $1.2 billion.
And what about the other suit for $9.8 billion, some people are calling for, $1 billion?
No, so the thing is, even this new curative petition where our government has asked Dow Chemical to pay $1.2 billion, again, it's based on wrong figures of deaths and injuries. So we are asking our own government to correct the figures of deaths and injuries, because initially our government said there were only 3,000 deaths because of the gas leak.
Right.
But now, recently, one of their own agencies claimed that there has been like at least 15,000 deaths. And we have figures that there have been like more than 25,000 deaths because of the gas leak.
So, I mean, the more you hear about this, this is the outrage of what large corporations get away with in terms of killing human beings. There was one line in the film that really struck me where the head of Carbide says something like, there might be dangers here, but we're also giving people work. So that's more important than the dangers that exist. And we know people need work. But the result of this is still your ongoing battle I mean, the United States, of course, blocking every possible way to get any indictments. The idea that that India sentenced certain Union Carbide officials who are Indian to prison for 2 years, that doesn't happen in the United States. People don't go to jail.
No, that's why, right? I said U.S. Has been like a kind of like a safe haven for these responsible individuals and companies since the disaster record. And the U.S.
So
government.
So, what is life like in Bhopal now?
Oh, people are still living in the water affected communities, and they do not have access to good health care. Their children are still being born with several birth deformities, and they never got adequate compensation. And the site still stands there, killing people. It's, if you walk into the site even now after 30 years, you will see, you know, in the laboratory is like open, wide open. You can see like thousands of bottles lying around, the bottles that were never opened, you know, they are still there. It's highly contaminated, you know. So we believe that, you know, there are certain issues to deal with, but the site should be cleaned as soon as possible so that it is.
So are people still being affected by the Bhopal disaster? Still births and people still suffering from the contamination from the leak?
Yeah, even the women actually who were there, they are suffering from gynecological problems. They are finding it hard to have babies. You know, the girls are actually finding it hard to getting married because men from other cities, they wouldn't actually want to marry girls from Bhopal because they would say like, oh, they were exposed to gas or water contamination. You know, they are going to be like sick all their life, so we don't want to marry them, you know.
So what is the campaign going to go? I mean, two questions where we have to go. Where the campaign is going now and what role this film plays in it, Pat?
My position is... ultimately, I'm a physician, and I was very affected by the medical problems that are going on because that's unconscionable. And I would like to say that it's the responsibility of the government to take care of its people. And as far as I'm concerned, I think we can have the lawsuits and all those things ongoing to argue about who's responsible. But in the meantime, the tragedy is continuing because of the toxic waste that has never been cleaned. And that needs to be cleaned. And my personal opinion is that the Indian government needs to step in there and take care of its citizens, clean up the site, and then fight or quibble over who's responsible for the bill to clean it up. But if not, we've 30 years of suffering already, and it'll continue for another 30 years. And not only that, this is a lesson for the rest of the world that with any business endeavors and there comes great responsibility that you don't hurt the people that live around you. And so my focus was to show this film, to raise money for the Bhopal Medical Appeal, which is a UK-based charity and runs two free clinics in Bhopal now. For the victims and survivors.
So very quickly, before we have to go, and I want to tell people how to see the film before we do go, what's your agenda now? What happens from here on, Sanjay?
Well, we are trying to have like more pressure on our own government and also in the U.S. so that responsible individuals and companies are held accountable, and so that, you know, we can push for this security petition which has been sitting in the Supreme Court of India for more than 4 years now.
Well, this is a very important film and very well done, with both American and Indian actors, and Martin Sheehan is leading the film, who plays the head of Union Carbide. The film will be shown this Saturday, January the 31st at 2 p.m., at Hodgson Hall, Auditorium 110. Pardon me, I'm sorry. At the Johns Hopkins University Homewood Campus. That's at 2 p.m. Hodgson Hall at Johns Hopkins University Campus. And there'll be a discussion following that will be with Sanjay Verna, who's been on the show with us today, and Tim Edwards, who's an activist and executive trustee of the Bhopal Medical Appeal. They'll be on the panel as well. It's worth seeing the film, but also to understand where we are up against here in this country and in India and around the world with the power of industrial might and how they get away with this kind of murder. And I want to thank our two guests for being with us, Dr. Patricia Santosham. Great to see you again.
Thank you so much.
Great to see you. And Sanjay Verma, thank you for the work you're doing, activist, photographer from Bhopal with the Bhopal Medical Appeal and the International Campaign for Justice in Bhopal. Welcome to the United States and good luck.
Thank you, Mark. Glad to be here.
And we're going to take a very quick break. And on this way to break here, we are listening to Bob Dylan, Song to Woody. Bob Dylan met Woody Guthrie When he visited him in the hospital at the Greystone Park Hospital, he died on this day in 1961, the great Woody Guthrie. So we leave this ode to great Woody Guthrie, Song to Woody by Bob Dylan. We'll be right back.
It looks like it's a dying and it's hardly been born. Hey, Woody Guthrie, but I know that you know.